If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret, searching for the sound. This is the Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Before we get to today's show, I wanted to tell you all about the new SoundStream app. It is the new home for all things sound podcast, and now you're able to listen to the perfect blend of music you'd expect from us 24/7. Jam bands and more, much more. New episodes of the podcast arrive at least 3 times a week, and now you can listen to your favorite artists and bands all the time in a perfect music stream. Just hit the play button and away you go. You'll be boogieing in no time. You can make requests, offer shoutouts, and even let us know when your birthday is, all from the SoundStream app. Get the app at thesoundstream.com or in the Apple or Google Play Store. The show starts now.
Thank you.
been listening to Satellite from Guster and the Omaha Symphony Orchestra from a performance back on February 8th, 2019. Omega, Guster with the Omaha Symphony Orchestra, was released to fans via the band's website and Bandcamp page in early May. It features 11 songs spanning the band's almost 30-year career and includes a few tracks from their latest album, Look Alive, released just last year. We followed the career of Guster seemingly from day one and have always been impressed with their music. They aren't, by the way, a nostalgic act by any means. They've fairly consistently put out new music and are extremely active touring. We caught up with Ryan Miller to talk more generally about the band's career to date and quite specifically about Omega. Our conversation started when I asked Ryan if projects like this with the symphony are what's required to keep a band interested, motivated, and excited about the work.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you've been listening since like Parachute Goldfly, you've obviously seen the millions of transitions that we've gone through, micro transitions and mega transitions that we've gone through. So I think that us doing those things has everything to do with the fact that we're still, you know, writing music and putting out new music and staying in it, not just on a nostalgia tip.
Right, staying relevant probably for your fans and for the wider music community, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the relevancy is sort of hard to for me to discern, but it certainly feels like, you know, one thing I think once we hit a certain mark that we just didn't want to be a band that traded exclusively in nostalgia and just went around and toured his Steve Miller's greatest hits every right. year. So that was it, and I think we probably wouldn't have lasted much on that. You know, we weren't a big enough band to kind of just, you know, to really just be like, oh, this was our hit song, we're just gonna play that. I mean, we didn't have one. So yeah, I think a huge part of it is just kind of just like, it's been instinctual for the three/four of us to keep digging every record and figure out what kind of music we want to make and how to mess things up and stay really scared at every, you know, touring opportunity that we can, etc.
8 albums in. Look Alive was your 8th album. It came out in January of 2019. But you also dabble in live releases for your audience and your fans. How important is it to keep the fans' appetite for live music in particular, because you are such a live band and that's an important component to Guster. How important is it to keep your fans' appetite satiated with not just new material, but live versions of that material?
Well, we don't really, I mean, you know, for a band that has made its living, you know, the bulk of the money that we made has been on the road. I mean, we are, you know, like I said, we've had, our records have done okay, but we don't have hit songs per se. So, but for a band that's like, you know, spent 4 or 5 months a year pretty much consistently for the last 30 years, we don't really have a huge live catalog. And I think, you know, some of that speaks to the fact that we don't really improvise in our songs per se, you know, so there's not, if you have a version of, you know, Come Downstairs and Say Hello from 2007, it's not going to be radically different from the version from 2020. So we never felt, it's not like Fish or something where right. like half of the time they're out there, they're inventing stuff. So, you know, we've had a few, we did a Guster on Ice live DVD, which kind of captured us at a nice moment and then didn't really feel, I think, motivated is probably not the right word. But to figure like, well, what's the new, you know, what can we bring to this? So we had done another orchestra show with an unnamed symphony for union reasons. We couldn't say who it was, but we just did a Bandcamp release only. And we had to, it was a very limited digital thing. But this one we were able to kind of work it with because the symphony shows are really special. Yeah. So I thought rather than just saying, here's another live, you know, release, having the orchestra really felt like it brought something new to the experience.
It's true, and it certainly does. I mean, it's a whole other soundscape, including you guys. Was charting the music, I mean, how involved were you specifically in charting the music, or do you hand the music over to, let's say, the Omaha Symphony and get them to decide what instruments are going to be used in coming up with the sound when you play with the band, with the symphony?
Well, our first orchestra show was with the Boston Pops, and that was, man, was it 15 years ago? I should probably look this up. It was either 10 or 15 years ago. I think it might've been 10. And part of the deal was they would make, we're talking about, they're called charts. Yeah. So, you know, when making a chart is not something that I know how to do, or really any of us, because it's an 80-piece orchestra. So not only is it the melody line for each thing, but it's also knowing every instrument. Like, okay, this bass clarinet, you're wanted to play in a B flat, but it doesn't have a B flat on a bass clarinet. So it's a very specialized skill to be able to take a, you know, just technically, not even artistically, just to know how to do something like that. So we've never been involved directly with the making of the chart. So we've kind of done it piecemeal, and each time we've played with an orchestra, and I think the Omaha Symphony was maybe our sixth or seventh time, we kind of get some new charts. So first time with the Pops, we had 8 charts that were made by this guy Pat, and they're incredible. They hold up so well. And then when we played with the Colorado Symphony, we asked our buddy Jay, and he did a bunch of charts. My buddy Matt, who does a VSO, Vermont Symphony Orchestra, did a bunch for the Omega release. So we kind of just like, and sometimes we'll go back and we'll be like, oh, that chart wasn't so great. Let's pay someone to see if we can redo it. And then we have a little bit of back and forth, but we really don't know how it's going to sound until we're in our only rehearsal with the symphony.
Yeah. And for this one, you added new tracks, right? Hello, Mr. Sun and Mind Control are fairly new songs. So you must have had those done up specifically for the,
yeah, exactly. And so we hadn't, and I think we had put maybe a new version of Long Night in there as well. So there's a lot of collaborators in our life as artists, like you know, who do art or to do stage design, and there's a lot of trust involved, but we don't really trust, there's not a lot of trust when it comes to music. So it's an unusual point to be in, but we've been like, those charts have been really great for the most part, really, really bring out a whole other flavor and a whole other textures and colors out of the music.
I really love doing it by myself. I think the symphony is great, and the horns, and I think it's a great version of that tune. Are there specific tunes? Satellite and Fafa are sort of reimagined, but stay pretty close to the original intent. Are there other songs on this collection that you think fans need to hear, or people who don't necessarily know Guster need to hear because they're great introductions to your music?
Well, you know, there's songs like Come Downstairs and Say Hello, which is like it's a huge song for our fans. And, you know, it's a big song every night when we play live, which just, it having the symphony is, it just brings it to another level. So it's a really, it's a special song, and it's a special arrangement, and having the orchestra, that it's an emotional song, and it brings another level of emotion to the song. So like, that's just a total highlight for us. But then there's a song called Mind Control on the new record that you mentioned. And like that, I feel like that has a whole other thing that happened now. I mean, I check in on with fans, and they're like, wow, I didn't really like Mind Control until I heard the symphony version. And right. It's like, stuff like that is very encouraging, because it shows that sometimes it's like, you know, there's a song, and then there's an arrangement and a recording of the song, but the distillation is there's a song in there. So if you can take the essence of a song, which is the chord changes and the lyrics, and then bring a whole other palette around it, it's really rewarding, especially like that. That's kind of a powerful song, you know, and so to have the orchestra sitting behind you on that one's pretty incredible.
You were going to do a few more symphony performances this month, but obviously because of COVID-19, you couldn't. How are you keeping yourself busy? I mean, it must be, this is your season, right? This is when you're making dough and being out on the road. How are you keeping yourself busy and sane over this little bit?
It's tough, because we had just lined up a huge summer tour with an artist we love, which I don't even know if I've ever announced, but I don't think it's a secret. I mean, we had been talking to the New Pornographers for a couple months about doing a tour together, and we're such huge fans, and we had spent a little bit of time with Carl and Nico when we had gone across the country with Great Big Sea. So we were really stoked, and Nico was going to probably come out. And yeah, I mean, it's a heartbreaker where that was like, we don't really get tours like that that come our way very often, bands that we really respect. And so, yeah, not being able to play the orchestra shows, we're supposed to play two nights with Boston Pops again. You know, there's, yeah. I mean, you know, this thing is affecting everybody very differently in a million different ways, depending on who works and how old your kids are and how, if your parents are close by, if you know some, what city you live in. And I've, you know, I've said over and over, it's like every single person just kind of got their wheel, their wheels of fortune spun, and 28 different variables. And so, you know, having our work disappear from underneath us for not just the summer, but the fall, the winter, maybe next summer. I mean, who knows what concerts are going to look like
right
moving forward. It's a scary prospect. And, you know, I've done some live stream stuff that's been really fun, especially when it's not music. And we're trying to figure out how to still connect with our fans. And, but a huge part of it is just like, you know, I miss performing, I miss playing, I miss the dynamics of all this. And there's no real way to figure out where this is all going to land eventually. So, I mean, it's a total heartbreaker. I mean, listen, I'm coming from a point of privilege here where I have a house and I can pay my rent for the next little bit. And just like everybody, I mean, I don't know anybody that's untouched by this probably in the world. Yeah. So, yeah, it's any industry for us to be in, the industry of getting a lot of people together in a small place feels like it's going to be one of the more difficult ones to recover from. So it's, I'm trying to focus, you know, every day and then a couple of weeks ahead, but I still kind of haven't let the existential stuff of like, wow, we're not going to tour like maybe for a year and a half or 2 years, and what will that even look like? So it's not something I can really control. So I'm trying not to, that's not where I put my energy, but yeah, it's depressing as shit. Let's be honest.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. Is it an opportunity for you to write more? Have you, I know a lot of people are writing or thinking about writing, not that, you know, when this is all over, we're going to have 300 different odes to COVID-19, but is it an opportunity for somebody such as yourself to write more, to think about writing, to think about the human condition while we're going through all of this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the issue is that for our band, we're still a collaborative band. So the trick is what we've been doing for the last, probably ever since Luke's been in the band, we'll just get together every month or so and sit in a room for 3 or 4 days and bang out some songs and work on them on our own and come back. But we can't even do that right now. So that, I think, is going to ease up pretty soon. I just found out that we're all in the Northeast for the first time since this all happened, which is great. I mean, you know, Luke was in Nashville, so the fact that he's here now, but then we're all have different levels of comfort with like being in a room together. Also, our wives have an opinion on all this, which is not an unimportant part of it. So, right. I've been doing some writing and I've been doing little projects here and there, but it's tough as a band. You know, it'd be a lot easier to answer that question as a solo artist, but I'm not, you know, and I've written a couple songs and sent them around, and Luke's written a couple things and we're talking about stuff, but it's not how we work traditionally as a band. This is like the power, the reason the band sort of works is that there's four really strong personalities and we have to kind of like float that Venn diagram, and that doesn't exist, right? There is no overlap because we just physically can't get in a room together. So it's definitely on the list, and we're trying to stay creative as much as we can given the context, but yeah, I think it will come. I mean, this isn't a perpetual state. We'll figure out how to make it happen. So yes, but yeah. And then again, like to speak to your point, like to write about this and to feel like how to contextualize this and how much will anybody will even want to contextualize any of this at any given moment is very interesting. So I don't quite have the answer for that either.
Yeah. And I guess the next, the follow-up to that is you really don't know what's going to be next at all, whether it's going to be another record or a tour or what comes first. I mean, you really don't know at this point, right?
Well, I would have to assume that we'll put out new music before we tour, because the tour thing doesn't seem like it's going to happen at least for a year. And then how do you deal with the refunds? And, you know, so it's, I think that we have a lot of songs in the can that are written but not recorded. So yeah, I think the next step for sure will be, if not a full blown album, certainly an EP or some songs. Like, we're excited about the music we've been writing. We haven't recorded it yet. And that's obviously a whole other thing.
For sure. For sure. Thanks so much for taking the time. It was great to connect with you some 30 years into a career. Thanks for the music to this point. Not that you're a nostalgic act by any stretch. The new albums are as good as the old albums. Just, you know, thinking about Guster and reminiscing with myself, because, you know, I do that. I talk to myself. It's fun when I prepare for these things. But the career's been an excellent one. And it's one that we've always been looking at for new music from Guster. So we were excited to talk to you and excited for the symphony record, which spans the career really in those 11 songs. So thanks so much for taking the time. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, back at you. Thanks for being interested.
To learn more about Omega and Guster, visit guster.com. Before we leave you, let's listen to one more track off of Omega. Here is Come Downstairs and Say Hello.
Oh,
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.